You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire presents Hollywood Star Time, direct from Hollywood. Tonight, the radio production of Somerset Maugham's powerful human drama, The Letter, starring Ann Todd, Vincent Price, and your Saturday evening host, Herbert Marshall.
Good evening. I seem to have an affinity for Somerset Maugham, for on The Razor's Edge, I play the famous author himself. And tonight, as in a couple of movie productions, I play one of Somerset Maugham's famous characters in The Letter. I feel especially privileged to appear in this play tonight because the leading lady will be someone whom I consider one of our really great young dramatic actresses, Miss Ann Todd. We are equally fortunate in having for the part of the husband that fine actor, Vincent Price. So without reservation, I can promise you some gripping entertainment tonight, thanks to Ann Todd, Vincent Price, and to Frigidaire. Concerning The Letter, here is Wendell Niles.
You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. And it is this association of experience, of skill with skill, that makes Frigidaire America's favorite refrigerator. Remember this when you choose your new refrigerator. Remember that millions of Frigidaires in millions of American kitchens have established Frigidaire's reputation for complete dependability, for lasting satisfaction. Yes, you're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. No other company can make a Frigidaire. Now, Frigidaire presents The Letter, starring Ann Todd, Vincent Price, and your Frigidaire host, Herbert Marshall.
The jangling of a telephone, ringing in the dead silence and the dead heat of the Singapore night. Slowly, heavily, I drag myself from the depths of sleep and reach for the telephone. My friend, Robert Crosby, was sleeping across the room and I didn't want him to be needlessly awakened. It was one of his rare excursions into Singapore from the rubber plantation he managed. I didn't want him disturbed. And there was something urgent. Something so imperative and sinister in the sound of that telephone, rasping away there in the heat of the Singapore night. Yes, hello.
Hello, Howard.
Yes, this is Howard. Who's speaking, please?
Howard, this is Leslie.
What? Leslie, what on earth?
Howard, is my husband there with you?
Right across the room, sleeping like a top. Why?
Well, please wake him up and tell him to return to the plantation right away.
Well, Leslie, what happened?
At once, Howard. I...
Hello. Leslie, are you there? Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry, Mr. Joyce, but I'm afraid Mrs. Crosby has fainted. She's had a great shock.
Who are you?
Francis Withers, the assistant district officer here.
But what on earth's going on there? What's wrong?
Jeffrey Hammond has been shot to death in the Crosby bungalow.
What? Good heavens, man.
Tell Mr. Crosby to come home immediately.
Yes, of course. But...
And if you're the Crosby's lawyer, I suggest you come along with Crosby. It may be murder.
Yes. Yes, I will. Thank you.
Glad you're here at last. It was terrible. Terrible. hush, Leslie. It's all right.
Wiggles, that's what happened.
I got a call from Mrs. Crosby and came here to find Jeffrey Hammond dead, riddled with bullets.
He tried to make love to me. I shot him.
Leslie.
Oh, don't let me go, darling. Hold me. Don't let me go.
It's all right, sweetheart. Easy there. Easy.
He was drunk. I've never seen Jeff like that before.
He hadn't been over here for some time.
Just when would you say was the last time he was here?
3 months ago, at least, Mr. Withers.
You see, Joyce, Mr. Withers, Jeffrey Hammond was always a welcome visitor here, occasionally dropped in for a chat with me or Leslie.
I see.
Tonight, he came in and mixed himself a drink, as he often does. Did. I was wearing spectacles, I often do when I'm reading. When out of nowhere, he said something rather silly.
What did he say, Leslie?
He said, I don't know how you can bear to disfigure yourself with those horrible spectacles when you've got such very pretty eyes.
Had he ever said anything of that sort to you before?
No. That's what startled me. I looked up at him and I noticed then that he was far from sober.
Go on, dear.
His face was unnaturally flushed. He got up out of his chair and stood over me. He said, I'm bound to tell you this here and now, Leslie. I've loved you ever since I first saw you.
Swine.
I've held my tongue as long as I could, but now I've got to say it. I love you. I love you.
Filthy, drunken swine.
I don't remember clearly what happened after that, except that he pulled me out of a chair and tried to kiss me.
Oh, no.
I broke away and tried to scream for our native boys, but he caught me and covered my mouth. He crowded me against your desk, Robert, and I remembered your revolver in the drawer. All I remember after that is hearing the reports of the gun until it was empty. It was only then I realized what I had done.
Leslie, my poor child.
And you hadn't been in touch with him for 3 months?
Strangely enough, no, Howard.
No communication of any sort?
None whatever, Mr. Withers. I suppose one gets tired of people after a while. Oh, but it's so awful to think I killed him.
Well, it's obvious the man was drunk. He got what he deserved.
I think we'd all better return to Singapore, Robert.
All of us? Leslie, too, you mean?
In particular, Leslie. I'm suggesting that Leslie should give herself up to the Attorney General there.
Shall I be arrested?
I think you're by way of being under arrest now.
A matter of form, you know, you understand?
Oh.
On what charge?
On the only charge possible under the circumstance, I should imagine. Murder.
I'll get my hat.
Did you go in with her, Robert?
Why? I'm not thinking of suicide, you know.
I should hope not. Nearly thought I'd like to have a word with Withers here. Merely official small talk.
I'll go with Leslie, of course. Come along, darling.
By George, that woman's a marvel. Bearing up as well as she does.
Yes.
Certainly a pretty woman, isn't she?
Withers, did you know this Jeffrey Hammond very well? Was he a heavy drinker?
Well, he could take his whack all right, but I never saw him drunk.
Quite a favorite with the ladies, wasn't he?
Very much so, Mr. Joyce. Good-looking chap, you know, the sort, very breezy and devil-may-care and generous with his money.
But was he the sort of chap you'd expect to do a thing like that?
Well, how should I know? How can you tell what a man will do when he's drunk? But there's one thing puzzles me.
What's that?
From the appearance of Hammond's body when we first found him here, it seemed that some of the shots were fired when he was actually lying on the floor.
Well, naturally. He must have been wild with panic.
Nevertheless, the prosecution for the Crown may make an issue of the detail.
I'm certain we can explain it on the basis of fear and blind panic.
I'm sure, sir. Yeah, I hope so.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Robert Crosby to see you, Mr. Joyce. And it's an outrage, Howard, an outrage.
Close the door after the outrage, Mr. Crosby, will you, Aunt?
Yes, sir.
Don't leave us, sir.
No, sir.
Howard...
Robert, this is Aung Chi Seng, my confidential assistant, and as good a lawyer as I am. I want him in on the case.
How do you do?
Now then, Robert, what's troubling you?
Howard, I think it's monstrous the way they kept Leslie locked up in that filthy Singapore prison.
Well, after all, Robert, it's a very serious charge.
She did what any decent woman would do in her place. Howard, if I'd got hold of that man, I'd have wrung his neck. I'd have killed him without a moment's hesitation.
So would you.
Everybody's on your side. I don't suppose a single member of the jury will go into the box without having already made up his mind to bring in a verdict of not guilty.
Of course.
The fact remains that murder has been committed.
Is it murder to exterminate vermin? She shot him as she would have shot a mad animal.
Robert, I'd be wanting in my duty as your legal advisor if I didn't tell you that there is one point which causes me a little anxiety. If Leslie had only shot Hammond once, the whole thing would have been absolute plain sailing. Unfortunately, she fired six times.
But her explanation is perfectly simple. Under the circumstances, anyone would have done the same.
No, I dare say. And, of course, I think the explanation is very reasonable.
Of course. No one has a decent word to say for that Jeffrey Hammond now. What a blaggard he turned out to be.
Yes. We found out some pretty startling things about him.
Carrying on with that other woman as he was. We're a sort of scheming, disreputable character. Oh, will that woman be one of the witnesses?
I'm not going to call her. I shall produce evidence of his association with her, of course. And public feeling being what it is, I'm sure the jury will be convinced of Hammond's notorious, not to say loose, character.
Well, I'm certainly glad the trial is set for tomorrow. I want to take Leslie out of that crawling prison as soon as I can.
I think we can assure you of an easy victory tomorrow in court, Robert.
Oh, thanks, Howard. I wanted to hear you say that. Goodbye. Goodbye, Holmes.
Good morning, sir. I'll ask
you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Excuse me, Mr. Joyce.
Hmm? Oh, you may go on.
Thank you, sir. But may I trouble you for a few words, private conversation, sir?
What is it?
Well, a circumstance has come to my knowledge which seems to put a different complexion on the case of the Crown versus Crosby.
What circumstance, Holmes?
Well, it has come to my knowledge, sir, that Mrs. Crosby wrote a certain letter to the unfortunate victim of the tragedy on the very night of the tragedy.
Nonsense. Mrs. Crosby stated positively she'd had no communication with Hammond for several weeks.
This indicates that her statement was not in every respect correct.
Let me see her.
That is only a copy of a true letter, sir.
Hmm. Great Scott. Who has the original?
The lady of doubtful character with whom Mr. Hammond was conducting his unseemly affair.
I see. How much does she want for the letter?
Much. $10,000, sir.
She contacted you, of course.
Yes, sir.
$10,000.
Yes, sir.
Archie Sang, arrange a meeting for me with Mrs. Crosby in her cell within the hour.
Howard, why visit me in my cell when we could
just as well meet in the visitor's room, I know. I have to speak to you privately, Leslie.
Is something the matter?
Leslie, why did you tell me that you'd had no communication with Jeffrey Hammond for several weeks before the night he was killed?
Because it was true, Howard. Why?
There is a letter in existence written by you and sent to Jeffrey Hammond on the very night of his death.
Well, that can't be.
I hope not. Listen to this.
Yes?
Dear Jeff, Robert will be in Singapore again tonight. I must see you. I shall expect you at 11. I'm desperate. If you don't come, I won't answer for the consequences. Leslie. Well?
Let me see that letter. Oh, why, this isn't even in my handwriting.
No, no, it's a copy of the letter you sent.
I never wrote such a letter. I swear it.
Oh, Leslie, if the original is in your handwriting, it'll be useless to deny it.
Howard, what does it mean?
I'm afraid that's for you to say, Leslie.
What would a jury being kind to think it meant?
That you had lied when you said you hadn't written recently to Hammond. You came to your bungalow that night at your expressed desire.
I just wanted to talk to Jeff about buying Robert a new gun for his birthday.
I'm desperate. If you don't come, I won't answer for the consequences. Is that the language of a woman inviting a mere friend to discuss the purchase of a new gun for her husband? And, by the way, why do you call him Jeff?
Everybody did. Howard, don't you believe me?
Leslie, I'm trying with all my heart to believe you. But whether I do or not doesn't matter, because I'm prepared to defend you to the very last ditch.
Howard, don't let them hang me. Please don't let them hang me. Howard, please.
For heaven's sake, let me be quiet. That's better.
Who has the letter?
A woman who'd been having some affair with Hammond.
That creature. Does she want an awful lot, please?
She's shrewd enough to know its value.
How much?
$10,000.
Oh.
What are Robert's circumstances?
Well, he has some tin shares and an interest in a rubber estate. I suppose he could raise the money, but it would take time.
The trial's tomorrow. We've got to have it now.
Howard, you mustn't let them hang me.
Leslie, I'm hard-pressed, but I'll put up the cash.
I'll get that letter somehow. One more thing, terribly important.
What's that?
After the trial, I'll have to have my money back or be ruined.
Well, I understand that.
I could explain about the letter to your husband, make him understand that your meaning and the meaning a jury might put on that letter would be quite different.
Oh, he'll pay you back, I'm sure. Robert loves me more than life. I know that. Nothing else matters to him.
But I must be very sure of one thing, Leslie, and that is that your story now is sound and true in all respects, is it?
I swear it, Howard.
If there are any flaws or loopholes, tell me now, so I'll know how to handle Robert when the time comes.
I've told you everything, Howard. Everything.
So be it. My entire career, your happiness, your life depend on it.
In just a moment, Act Two of Somerset Maugham's The Letter, starring Ann Todd, Vincent Price, and Herbert Marshall, with music composed and conducted by Johnny Green. One, two, three. Yes, the engineers who created the Frigidaire cold wall refrigerator did three things so that cold would be more useful to you than ever before. One, they designed the cold wall refrigerator in a revolutionary new way, built chilling coils right into the walls of the cabinet. That cools the entire food compartment evenly, eliminates moisture-robbing air circulation, so foods remain fresh-looking and fresh tasting for days without covering. Two, they developed a big super freezer chest that holds up to 35 pounds of frozen foods, plenty of ice. Three, they gave the cold wall special equipment for handling ice cubes, quick cube trays for releasing them without a struggle, a special place for storing extra ice cubes, and then, to provide the cold this new refrigerator had been designed to use so well, they equipped it with a famous Frigidaire meter miser, the simplest refrigerating mechanism ever built. Remember to see the Frigidaire cold wall before you buy any refrigerator. Remember that it makes cold more useful to you than ever before. And remember, you're twice as sure with two great names, for Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Our radio presentation of The Letter continues, starring Herbert Marshall, Ann Todd, and Vincent Price. Miss Todd appears through arrangement with David O. Selznick and will soon be seen in the Paradine case. Herbert Marshall may now be seen in Duel in the Sun. Now, Act Two of The Letter.
By stretching my resources almost to the breaking point, I was able to buy that damaging letter that would have hanged Leslie Crosby. And with Leslie herself nothing short of magnificent on the witness stand, the verdict was a foregone conclusion. Not guilty. After the verdict, we drove back to Crosby's bungalow on the river plantation to relax with some long, cool drinks.
Oh, it's good to be home again after that dreadful jail.
Yes, darling. If you can ever call this bungalow home again.
I'm going to try to forget what happened here, darling.
I'm afraid you never will here. I'm going to take you away from here just as soon as I can.
Oh, could you? I'd give anything in the world to get away.
I think a holiday would do you both the world of good.
And I'd be so thankful to get away, even for 2 or 3 weeks.
No. We must get away from here for good.
What about your work here, Robert?
I'm buying a rubber plantation of my own in Sumatra.
Buying?
It'll cost a lot of money.
$30,000. A bargain.
But, Robert, do we have that much money?
Well, we have the $10,000 down payment.
Robert, darling, really, I don't want you to take such a risk on my account.
But only a moment ago, Leslie, you said you'd give anything to clear out of here.
Robert, listen to me a moment, will you?
No, not at this precise moment. I'm going to fill up your glasses again. What you people need is some more of this liquid courage, and I'm going to supply it.
Leslie, he can't spend that $10,000. He owes it to me. I need it desperately.
I know. You'd better tell him about the letter.
Are you quite sure now that there are no loopholes in your story?
Oh, yes, quite sure.
Then I can tell about the letter if I have to and still keep you in the clear.
Shh, here comes back now.
Some of this tiger sweat pounding through your arteries and you'll be two very different people. There you are.
Seriously now, Robert, won't this new venture of yours take a lot of money for the risk involved?
It'll take every dollar we have.
But I consider it worth the risk.
Oh, why are you so obstinate, Robert?
Leslie, upon my word, I don't understand you. First you don't...
Robert, I ought to tell you.
Tell me what?
$10,000 isn't all you have. It's exactly $10,000 more than you have.
What? What are you driving at, Howard?
Robert, there was a certain letter that Leslie wrote to Jeffrey Hammond on the night he came here.
Letter? What letter?
A letter inviting Hammond to come over to discuss a birthday present Leslie wanted to buy you.
Well, what about...
Nothing except that Leslie must have been in a nervous and overwrought state, probably because of your absence. And the letter, therefore, was... Well, it was written in rather over-emotional terms.
What the devil is this, anyhow?
A jury might easily have misinterpreted that letter. So I bought it from the party who had it.
All right. I can understand a thing like that. How does a matter of a couple of $100 or so bear upon my general financial condition?
It wasn't a couple of $100, Robert.
All right. How much was it? I'm ready to pay the price.
The letter cost me $10,000.
What?
I shouldn't press you for the money, but I'm in a bit of a fix myself. I could wait a month or two, but if you were to sink the cash in this estate...
$10,000? Why, it's a fortune.
Yes.
Well, do you mean to say it was absolutely necessary to suppress that letter?
If you wanted your wife acquitted.
What could that letter have said?
Howard has told you, Robert. I wanted Jeffrey Hammond to drop over so I could talk to him about getting you a gun for your birthday.
A gun?
Yes.
But I went into Singapore that very night to buy Bertie Cameron's gun.
How should I know that?
Because I told you.
Oh. Oh, I'd forgotten.
Lizzie, you told me that... Oh, never mind.
You, Howard, you were committing a criminal offense when you bought that letter, weren't you?
It isn't the sort of thing a respectable lawyer does.
It was a criminal offense.
Yes, I suppose it was.
I want to see that letter.
I have no right to show it to you.
Listen, Joyce, I've got to pay $10,000 for that letter, and I'm going to see it.
Robert, I tell you...
Let him see it, Howard.
Very well. Here.
What does it mean?
Purely a matter of interpretation, Robert. An hysterically written note which to a jury might signify things which... Well, I'm sure they were things furthest from Leslie's mind. That is, if they were misunderstood, if they were... You know, if they were given a wrong meaning. Well, for example...
Oh, stop it, Howard. I've had enough. The letter means that Jeffrey Hammond was my lover.
Leslie. Oh, no, Leslie. No.
We've been seeing each other secretly for years.
But I've trusted you. I've loved you.
Then lately he began to change. I couldn't believe he didn't care for me anymore. Oh, you only knew the agonies I endured. I knew he didn't want me anymore, and I couldn't let him go.
Leslie, oh, Leslie.
I didn't want to love him. I couldn't help myself. He was everything in the world to me.
Oh.
And then I heard he was having an affair with that woman they found out about. A horrible, horrible, painted woman with her gold bracelets and her vulgar necklaces. Oh, I was so ashamed. So humiliated. That night, I couldn't stand it anymore. I wrote him that letter. How was I to know he wouldn't burn it after he'd read it?
Leslie, what have you done to us?
He came here. I don't remember what I said to him, but I hated him because he'd made me despise myself so. I did everything to hurt him as he'd hurt me. And then he turned on me. He said he was glad I knew about that other woman because now, at least, I'd leave him alone. As though... I don't know what happened then. I just know I had the revolver in my hands and I was firing and firing until there weren't any more cartridges. I'm sorry, Robert. I couldn't help myself.
What do you want me to do now, Leslie?
It's for you to say.
I shall have to stay here now. I'll manage to give you enough to go to England. But it won't solve anything. Because the awful part is that in spite of everything, I love you, Leslie. Oh, Lord, how you must despise me. I despise myself.
No, Robert, Robert, darling, please don't cry. Please don't.
I'm sorry. I'm a fool. Excuse me.
Robert, what are you going to do? Wait, Robert.
Wait, Leslie. He'll be all right. Give him a moment to get hold of himself.
I'm so dreadfully sorry for him.
He'll forgive you, Leslie.
Why should he?
Because he's humble and decent, and he loves you more than life.
I'll do all I can to make him happy. He'll never know that I don't love him as he wants to be loved.
It won't be easy living with a man you don't love. That will have to be your penance, your retribution.
No, my retribution is greater. Because while I live with my husband, with all my heart, I shall always love the man I killed.
Leslie?
Oh, Robert, I'm sorry you heard that.
Yes. Yes, I heard everything. And with all my heart, darling, I shall always love the woman I killed.
Robert, no.
Crosby!
Robert.
Howard, will you be good enough to call the police?
Todd, Vincent Price, and Herbert Marshall for your stirring performances in The Letter. In just a moment, our host, Herbert Marshall, will return to tell you about next week's star and story. Vincent Price will soon be seen in the RKO release, The Long Night. Hollywood Star Time is presented each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer, who invite you to come in and learn about the famous line of Frigidaire electric refrigerators, electric ranges, electric water heaters, home freezers, and a wide variety of refrigerating and air conditioning equipment for homes, farms, stores, offices, and factories. Now here again is our Frigidaire host, Herbert Marshall.
It's outrageous. It's the talk of the town. It would be serious if it weren't so funny. You see, Marguerite Chapman hides Cary Grant up in her attic, and Cary Grant is wanted for murder. Meanwhile, a fuddy-duddy professor of law named Herbert Marshall lives on the second floor. Marshall gets to like Grant and goes out on a limb to prove him innocent. Pretty nice of him, don't you think? Of Herbert Marshall, I mean. I mean Professor Lightcap. Oh, I don't know. You better clear this up for the folks, Wendell, please.
It'll all come to light next Saturday at this time when Frigidaire presents Cary Grant, Herbert Marshall, and Marguerite Chapman in The Talk of the Town. And your host is ever Herbert Marshall. Hollywood Star Time was directed by Jack Johnstone. The script was written by Milton Geiger. And this is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.